Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward out sick today, so into the fray, my hero. Yeah, Friday's a bugle thing. Live from the New York Bureau, all 3 hours.
Good morning, children.
You're more than all right with me. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
And good morning, Stephanie. It's great to watch you on Current, or as DirecTV calls it, Current.
Current?
Yeah, that's on the channel guide. I just had to find you guys in time, and it's Current. So.
And it's equally delightful to watch you on Current. You know what? And I've known you, worked with you how many years? I happen to be watching, and Fugelsang, like a promo came on for your show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was mesmerized both your beauty and the points you were making.
Where did you see Current? You. Because they took it off our cable system.
It's a whole long story. I'm doing a thing for a person. I was watching some things.
Okay. Gotcha.
Anyway.
It's a thing. Like that thing we did that time for that guy.
Right. At the place. You know what I mean. Yeah. All right.
The place we met that time for that thing.
So I have been cheating on Current, although I do yell out Current's name when I'm on other networks. But I was on CNN last night, John. I'm talking to the delightful Gail Trotter. Gun nut.
Lovely.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes, and I just put my head back together after it exploded last night because I don't know if you saw this horrible story. This 5-year-old killed his 2-year-old sister with his rifle that was his, you know, it was his. It was a gift because there's a company that markets guns to kids.
Yes.
And she seems to think that's just fine to not only market to but sell guns to 5-year-olds.
Yes, 5-year-olds can have guns, but 15-year-olds can't have Plan B. Do you understand
this? That's exactly right. Thank you. See what you did there? You see how he magically melds topical issues together?
He's a pro.
It's America logic.
It's like it's the typical thing. You've done this, John, argued with these gun nuts. And it is a 100-round magazine of bull. You can't keep track of. She literally, this is a horrible story in Kentucky. But again, you know, they're these little blue and pink laminated rifles that they market to kids. They're called cricket rifles or something?
Yes. Great,
so,
great.
Yes, the 5-year-old shot his 2-year-old sister with the mother's in the house. Like, I'm going, have we gone insane?
You're not going to win an argument with these people. The trick is to be the sane one and win over the bystanders, because you're never going to convince the crazy person, but you can convince everyone in earshot, and the crazy person will just be crazy.
Yeah, well, we just sprayed each other with shrapnel at the same time. It's
no.
You know, they talk over you, and
Whose show is this?
First of all, Erin Burnett. But first of all, she threw out, you know how they call and throw out these they're just completely untrue.
Right.
She goes, oh, 250,000 crimes are stopped every year by guns. I'm like,
Keep statistics like that.
That is completely untrue.
And even if it was true, it doesn't have any relevance when it comes to background checks.
And the first thing she
they're not stopped by AR-15s.
She kept talking about video games. I'm like, what does that have to do with a 5-year-old shooting his 2-year-old sister with his own rifle? Video games were no part of that. And then swimming pools, that's the other thing. Swimming pools, Stephanie Kilmore. But do you think we should not let swimming pools?
Swimming pools
aren't designed to kill somebody. It's like,
right.
When used as planned,
Yes.
Swimming pools kill people when you use them the wrong way.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That was the guy. Sadly, that gun was used exactly the way it's supposed to be used.
Well,
but
it's like, and they want to say liberals are anti-gun. That's like saying liberals are pro-abortion. You know, no one's pro-abortion. We're pro-women having that choice. And no one's anti-gun. We're pro-saving American lives by regulating them the way we regulate cars.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. Anyway, it's just you're right. You cannot win, John. It's just,
no. Well, you can win over the bystanders. And you can win over their kids.
And you want to know the pundit bullet I did miss? I originally was slated to argue with Bill Donahue, your close personal friend.
Oh, he loves me.
About the Pope not being popey enough or not poping correctly.
I made him bite the pillow. He loves me now.
You did make him bite the pillow?
Did you see the interview
verbally
on my show, Chris?
Speaking.
Yes, I did.
He calls me daddy now.
Because you own him now.
I own the Catholic League.
You put him in a harness, didn't you?
I really did. He wears a little skirt when I tell him to.
I say, Bill Donahue,
put on this. Here's a party boy little baby doll T-shirt. Put this on until I say take it off. And he does it. That's right. I got Bill Donahue.
You did
to
not
admit.
Give him a safe word.
I did not.
He didn't want one. You got him to wear nipple clamps.
His safe word was more, Daddy, more. Okay. I got him to admit on my show that Jesus never said a thing against gay people.
Well, that's exactly. And you know the funny thing is that's why they switched topics, because they couldn't get. You could tell that you couldn't get him to say, because literally, because the Pope is saying too many things that Jesus actually said, and so I mean,
Well, I can handle
he's being
feeling
too
sorry
Jesus-y.
For the poor. I can have a, but you're kissing a Muslim convict's feet on Easter. And she's a woman?
Yes, exactly.
Stop
acting
like Jesus, you socialist.
I'm not sure what happened, but I think Bill Donahue had a thing with a guy at a place or something. And so then we switched to the equally crazy Gail Trotter to talk about guns. So that's what happened last night.
Well, we've offended everyone. I'm proud of us.
Me too. Thank you very much. Hey, looky here. Best jobs numbers in Hawaii. Looky here. The U.S. economy's job creation engine revved up in April, defying expectations. Unemployment dropped to 7.5%.
Yep.
We added, 165,000 jobs last month. How about that?
Yep, lowest unemployment rate in 4 years.
7.5. Wow,
I can't comment
on that. Thanks, Obama.
I can't comment on that until I watch Hannity and find out why it's bad. I'll be back in a few hours.
Okay, I got to play this, John. You know Jenna Marbles, right?
Yeah.
The internet sensation. Did you properly bleep this?
I properly bleeped it. Yes, I did.
All right.
That would stop you.
This is a parody of how everyone blames the president for everything ever.
Ever since Obama has been reelected president, this whole country has gone to Let me show you what I mean and how bad it is. Perfume smells like Thanks, Obama. My dog took a giant on the carpet. Thanks, Obama. Just got my period again. Thanks, Obama. This book sucks. Thanks, Obama. This porno isn't even any good. Thanks, Obama. SPF 30? That's racist. I need at least SPF 50. Thanks, Obama. Time travel? Still not an option. Thanks, Obama. The sandwich tastes exactly the same as the inside of my... Thanks, Obama. It's almost Valentine's Day. Thanks, Obama. Nobody even liked my Facebook status. Thanks, Obama. Condom broke again. Thanks, Obama. My kid punched another kid in the face at school today. Thanks, Obama. You know what? I'm probably gonna die someday. Thanks, Obama. Hunger Games? More like, thanks, Obama. My boyfriend keeps trying to put his in my... Thanks, Obama. Rap music. Thanks, Obama. Justin Bieber still not following me on Twitter. Thanks, Obama. God, my arms are so sore. Thanks, Michelle Obama.
This message is brought to you by the Teletubbies.
All right. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Oh, by the way, guess who I had on the show this week, John?
Who?
Michael Tomasky, who, as you know, I want to date and kiss and marry. And I said,
even more so.
And I did ask him, I said, has John Fugelsheim told you how creepy I am about you? And he said, yeah, a little bit.
I owe him a Beatles bootleg. He's been stalking me, so I need you to smooth the road for me. But he's a great guy. He's great on your show, too.
Well, he's terrific. He's my favorite new writer in the Daily Beast. But speaking of this debate I had last night, he wrote a great piece yesterday called Next Time the NRA Will Lose.
That's right.
This is really unprecedented, John, what is happening with this... He is predicting, along with a lot of other people, this vote that we are the president's right. We're going to win. This isn't over. I mean, he's
on background checks.
Yes, he has inside information from several people that are ready to change their vote. I mean, you've seen these polls. All of the people that voted for it have seen their numbers go up. The people that voted against it, they've seen their numbers plummet.
When Tomasky and Scarborough break the same outcome, it's pretty positive. But let's not forget, we never actually had the vote. They used the 60-vote filibuster to keep us from even having the vote. So we got to be able to vote to have the vote before we can have the vote. So I'm optimistic.
Right,
we'll
and
see.
I vote for allowing us to have the vote. That's what I vote for.
I'll see. There's a couple of Democrats not running for re-election who have a lot to answer for.
I know. Yeah, I know. Well, Mike writes, the background check bill isn't finished. And when it comes up for a vote again, says Michael Tomasky, the pressure will be on the senators who recently did the NRA's bidding. And he's happy-clappy like me, John, as you know. Mm. That's why I love him. But he says, how stupid does the Senate background check vote look now? I asked the pundits and others who thought it was dumb politics for Obama and the Democrats to push for a vote. They obviously knew they were going to lose. I'd say not very stupid at all. The nosedive. The nosedive taken in the polls by a number of senators who voted against the bill, most of them in red states, makes public sentiment here crystal clear. Now, for the first time since arguably right after the Reagan assassination, legislators in Washington are feeling political heat on guns that isn't coming from the NRA. The bill will come back to the Senate maybe before the August recess. It already seems possible, maybe even likely, to have 60 votes next time. How about that?
It's amazing.
How about that, John Fugelsheim? Saying?
Kind of sad in the U.S. Senate, common sense needs a background check, but that's just how it is.
You see what you did there. And the other thing I love, he talks about the polls that were taken ahead of time. He says, egad, could it be possible that those pre-vote polls of all those states by Mayor Bloomberg's groups were right? All the clever people poo-pooed them because they were done by mayors against illegal guns. And this reminds me of the Romney people, right? They're like, oh, those polls, they're not... Right. Well, it turns out they were right.
Yeah.
Oh, they were done by a partisan group and blah, blah.
But don't trust Nate Silver. He's just into facts and stuff. You know, what I really think could sway this whole thing, it's terrible to even ponder, but what I can't stop thinking about is, what if we find out that the gun the Tsarnaev brothers used to kill that poor cop at MIT was once sold without a background check at a gun show, and that's how it went from being a legal gun to an illegal gun, because all illegal guns begin their lives as legal ones.
Yeah, and John, we said before that that cop may be alive if we were allowed to tag explosives, if the NRA hadn't killed that as well, if we were able to trace it more quickly.
Gunpowder we cannot track because of the NRA lobbying.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
they built this.
Mike Tomosky writes, now the pressure is on the other side. It's on the NRA, which, I didn't know they're gathering. It's their annual convention?
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow?
Yes, in Houston,
wow.
I believe.
Guess who will open the meeting? Sarah Palin.
Oh.
And Glenn Beck will close it. Speaker's features not a single Democrat, so they're really...
It's the perfect storm of evil and dumb. It's beautiful.
And anyway, Tomosky says, and they're going to lose. I talked with a couple of knowledgeable sources what's going on. Five Republicans, I'm told, have expressed some degree of interest in switching their vote. And then of the Democrats, he said, I'm told Begich would like to switch. Heitkamp is a bigger question mark. And again, as we keep saying, call them.
Yep.
That leaves Baucus shortly after the last vote. Of course, he announced he was retiring. He's saying that ought to mean he should feel free enough to vote for the bill this time. One would hope he would grow a conscience before he leaves. He's not running again. But anyway, Tomosky finishes by saying Manchin and Toomey deserve great credit for sticking with this. Democrat Kay Hagan, my sister's done fundraisers for her in North Carolina. She is awesome. Also up for re-election. Again, red states. But a supporter of the bill every bit as much as Risk and Pryor and Begichar, and she makes them look like cowards. Good for her. And clearest of all is the fact that far from the vote being some kind of devastating blow to Obama and the Democratic Party, it accomplished a lot. It pulled a few bricks loose from the wall. Next time, that wall just might crumble. Thank you, Michael Tomosky. I love
you. What a guy.
You want to date him.
I want to date him. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, amazing, right? Politically, what could happen in that short a period of time? They were saying, when does that ever happen? A bill loses, and you know, there's that possibility that quickly.
When does a bill have 90% support? That's more popular than Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
Essentially, their argument is the NRA is saying that we can't have background checks for guns, but we need a national registry of mentally ill people so they can't buy guns, except they'll still be able to buy guns because we won't have background checks for guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
I was saying this last night about you. I'm a dog rescue person. You can get a dog taken away from you if you
You need a license to fish.
I mean, really? And there appears there's not, so far, there's not going to be any charges in this case of the 5-year-old shooting the 2-year-old with a gun that was his. Anyway.
You can't even apply for a job anymore without some creepy boss wanting your Facebook password.
That's
and
right.
Yet you can't have a background check to own a weapon designed to kill people?
I know. All right.
Tarnation.
We roll along.
Tarnation.
Tarnation.
Wow.
Mercy.
That's how angry I am.
What is our favorite
Not
on the Bus
like
say? What is Glory?
Oh, Glory.
Oh, Stephanie, my Glory. Love her. Okay, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Friday's your bugle saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, 24 minutes after the hour. Hey, John Fugelsang's in all 3 hours for Fridays with Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Oy. Yeah.
Oy.
In the
room. Oy.
All right. Okay. Everybody settle. So 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Dana in Maryland, you're on with John. Hey, Dana.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Good.
Good. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Oh,
how you doing?
I'm
loving your show. I watch every night. I send in comments,
you.
But you don't ever use them. So I'll keep trying.
I hope you like them. I don't get
to
pick them.
I'll keep trying.
He seemed interested.
I agree with you on Chris Cluey. He's a tasty morsel and a half.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
John seemed
he's
to be
so
listening
cute.
To you when I last saw you cupping his buttocks at the Meet and Grope in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God. He's delicious. So,
right. Okay.
So There was some idiot on Piers Morgan last night. I don't know. And he was
narrow it down.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was his name? Ben Shapiro, the Yarmulke kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was talking about Die Hard, which is, what, 1995?
Right.
He was talking about pool commercials, if someone dives in and breaks their neck in a pool.
God. Dana, that must have been the talking point, because that's what Gail Trotter said to me on Aaron Burnett's show.
Yeah.
I'm like, really, swimming pools is the talking point today?
It's insane. And now the RNC is coming out and blaming Obama because gun background checks did not pass. I mean, it is so sick.
Right, I know. Is that incredible?
It is so sick what is happening in this country. It is sick. And this is when we need to start talking about the midterms. It is not far away.
Yeah.
And this is how to get these clowns out of here.
Well, you know, Dana, that's what I was just quoting Tomosky's piece, because, you know what, I'm sick of people saying it can't be done and we can't. This, this was dumb and this was never going to happen. And it, yeah, look what's happening.
And it's so watered down and they still can't pass it. And it's just absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I mean, this 5-year-old kills his sister. You know, why aren't the parents responsible? The parents.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just so sad to even watch the news, and that's why I love you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
thank God,
you know.
Thank God the gays still can't have kids in some states. That's
exactly
an important thing.
I know. It's so ridiculous. It's good for Rhode Island. 10 down, 40 to go.
There you go.
You know, let's keep it going, right?
All right. Thank you, Dana.
Love you guys. Have a great weekend.
I love you, too. And the one thing I agree with Dana on, John Fugelsang, delishy.
Word. Thank you. Consensus has been reached, people of Earth.
And apparently has a cuppable butt.
Yes.
What was that all about? Who did what to whom? I didn't understand that little
Dana
passage.
In Maryland, you remember, at the meet and grow. She was, you know.
Cupping your butt.
Did she? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Just lately.
This is why I need to start sleeping again. Remember things.
Not with a child, you're not going to sleep.
Working 12 hours a day on a show, on the best show no one gets to watch on TV, and then having a baby that doesn't like to let me sleep.
Chris in L.A., you're on with John. Hi, Chris.
Hey there. I think I've got a way to get Washington's attention on this.
Please.
Follow me. We start a charity. We raise enough money to buy about 50 cases of AR-15s. And then we go down to the poor, underdeveloped neighborhoods, mostly full of brown people. And to make sure that they can exercise their Second Amendment rights, we start handing them out for free.
Ah. Hmm.
In, like, South Central Los Angeles, Overtown, Florida.
The NRA will come out with a new slogan. Just NRA, we didn't mean the brown people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is, if you remember when Reagan was governor of California, when he saw the Black Panther Party getting all those weapons, that is what really motivated him for gun control.
Yep.
So I think we just pulled the same thing. We just need to raise enough money for about 50 cases of AR-15.
There you go.
And then call a press conference in some of those poor neighborhoods and start handing them out.
Yeah, and Chris, that's what we do. We pass immigration reform, and everybody gets a new rifle, and then the right wing's collectively explode.
Respectfully, sir, I think the majority of people who live in poor neighborhoods would not commit crimes if you handed out guns.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know, it is interesting, John. If you see this NRA convention this weekend, you see how many brown people you count, right?
Oh no, you really want to do? How about this? How about you don't get an assault weapons ban, but instead you have an assault weapons system for background checks, where anyone who wants to buy a weapon that's any civilian who wants to buy a weapon that's only designed to kill other people, a lot of them in a very short amount of time. If you can't ban it, fine. If you're going to buy it, you have to have 4 letters of reference, and if a crime is ever committed with the gun you buy, those 4 people are held responsible by the law.
Yeah. Good.
You do that, and you'll see the crime rate go down with those things.
Yep. Nicely done. Sherry in Santa Fe, real quick. Hey, Sherry.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment on the 5-year-old shooting the 2-year-old and the fact that no charges are going to be pressed. A parent can be arrested for letting their kids drink underage or buying alcohol. But you can buy your kids a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same as the licensing our cars and, you know, what John was talking about.
Have you seen this website? You got to go look at this website, John, that's literally marketing to kids. There's a bunch of little kids holding all of these rifles. I mean, it's
amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's insane. 29
yeah?
minutes after the
hour. Oh, God, you're drunk.
Drunk on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm walking on sunshine. Not literally. It means that I'm happy. Postcoitally, it was on a school night.
That song needed no lyrical improvement.
34 minutes after the hour.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Fridays with John Fugelsang. Stephanie in Houston. You're in Moms Demand Action, the anti-gun group, Steph?
I am. We're not anti-gun, actually.
Well, no, I don't mean anti-gun. I mean
anti-dead people from guns.
Pro-gun sense. How about that? Go ahead.
We are pro-gun sense. That's exactly right. That's our hashtag that we use on Twitter all the time. We're for common sense gun solutions, just like most of Americans are. I mean, and so we're out there. We're going to be in town this weekend. I'm in the Houston chapter of Moms Demand Action. And we're going to have a presence here this weekend. We're starting off our Signatures of Shame event today outside of John Cornyn's office.
Good for you.
And this is the most exciting thing. I'm so excited. We have a shoot tomorrow morning with former Harlem Globetrotters and NBA players that are supporting us.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
I know. It's the coolest thing ever. I'm like, we've got Harlem Globetrotters on our side. Like,
listen,
we can't lose.
Well, I am a Meadowlark Lemon aficionado from way back.
Listen, I'm freaking out. I'm like, went to see them in the 70s, you know?
Me
I mean,
too.
Come on. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what, Steph? I said this right, you know, in the wake of Newtown. You know, you sense things sometimes before you see the results politically, but this time was different. And that's what we're seeing, I think, in polling everywhere, particularly now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing that's different, the thing I think is different is that we're not going away.
That's right.
Right. All the political calculations that were made before this counted on us going away. Right. We'd get all excited about it, and then we'd go back to our business. And that's not happening this time. And that's
Steph,
the game
you know
changer,
what?
I think.
Right. Your group and the Mayors Against Legal Drugs. Right. Gabby Gifford's group.
Yeah.
All of those groups are obviously relatively new. The NRA's been around forever.
Not in this form. It used to be a gun safety organization before it became shills for gun owners. The NRA only exists to protect profits.
Correct. And listen, we want to make it really clear. We're not protesting the NRA members. NRA members overwhelmingly support our issues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right. And we said this.
Right? I mean,
there's no way you can vote against 90% of the American people and there not be consequences. And we're seeing, I'm looking at PPP figures, step right in front of me. Mary Landrieu in Louisiana and Kay Hagan in North Carolina, vote is paying off for them. And they are there to Democrat. So the polls are rewarding courage and they are punishing cowardice in this vote. It couldn't be clearer. They're up for reelection in red states, right?
Look, women saw what happened, okay? They saw what happened. They saw it with their eyes. They heard it with their ears. These guys can tell them that their reality isn't reality, but they know better.
Well,
and,
you know, Steph,
and they're going they're going to vote what they know.
And Steph, I was debating this Gail Trotter last night on CNN, and I'm going, who does she represent? Really, Steph? Do you know moms that think it's a good idea to arm their 5-year-olds? I mean,
look, I live in Houston, Texas, and I'm in the horse world too. I have these horses down here, so I'm like, you know, in Texas land, right? So I know tons of Republican people that identify themselves as Republicans that are Republican women. They don't support any of this stuff.
Right.
None of it.
Yeah. No.
None
I mean,
of it.
That's what I mean. Like, you can always get a paid spokesperson like her to. But I mean, it's
right.
insane. I mean, it's just
no normal person.
Right. Go ahead.
No. Of course they don't. And it's like I'm not in a liberal area and, you know, listening to my own voice bouncing back at me. I'm surrounded by Republicans all the time.
Yep.
And they all tell me the same thing.
Yep.
Usually the guy that does my horse farrier, right, that does my horse's hooves, I mean, you know, like drives a pickup truck and chews tobacco and all that good stuff. He agrees with me.
No disrespect to them. They may be right about this, but they're still living in the vote against your own interest belt. And they're still going to vote. Most of them will vote Republican despite the fact that they are non-millionaires and the GOP doesn't work for them. It just tells them what they want to hear and plays to their fears.
Well, that's right, and that's why I'm working with Battleground Texas starting in mid-June.
Right on. Go purple. Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
You know what, Steph, you said it right. It's common sense. It's, you know, I literally said, you know, the NRA solution is always more guns. And I said that last night. I'm like, so what, should the two-year-old have been armed, too, to protect herself? I mean, really? Is this how insane this country is? Huh?
Mm-hmm. You have a shootout in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And mothers know that it's insane.
Yep.
And so.
Steph, thanks for your good work and your activism. Really, really important right now.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us on. And, you know, we've got a lot coming up. And we've got Harlem Globetrotters. Come on. We can't.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, you know.
I listen. I'm whistling the song in my head.
Me too. I know. Totally. We're all singing that song.
What's up with Curly? Is Curly still
Curly
around?
Neal?
Is he still around?
Is he still around?
I loved him.
Meadowlark Lemon's birthday was last week, actually.
Really?
I gave him a shout out on the show.
Totally.
Yes. Wow.
And the NRA or the Washington Senators of this debate.
Wow, Steph, how big a geeky dinosaur is John Finkelstein that he knew that Meadowlark Lemon's birthday was last week?
We give shout-outs to cool birthdays every day on my show.
Totally. It's a total God wink. That's what I thought when I heard it was his birthday. I'm like, we've got him coming up this weekend.
All right. Rock on with your bad self, Steph. Thank you.
All right.
Whee! I feel like I'm dribbling as I'm in my head.
And I'm throwing a bucket of confetti on you.
Ah! Okay. I love them. Bruce, and I love a woman that geeks out. I thought I was the only woman in the country that geeks out over the Harlem Globetrotters. Bruce in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bruce. Hello.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good. Hey, you know, I just thought of an analogy, John. The pro-gun people are becoming the Washington Generals in this debate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All you
right.
You just thought of that?
Thank you.
You just, no.
All right. Bruce in Florida.
Well, what I was thinking is, you ever notice that every person who owns a gun is proud to tell you that they own a gun? They have a bumper sticker on the back of their truck. They have gun racks. And yet they aren't allowed, they won't allow themselves to register with the government.
Yeah. How come you're so proud? You don't want it. Right, exactly. Well, I mean,
I don't want to register because then the government will have my personal information, so I'm going to angrily post about this on Facebook, which gathers my personal information.
Oh, look what you did there. You see, it's, you know, that's what we were saying, John, is the car is a perfect analogy. I mean, mm-hmm. There are so many regulations, and we register our cars, and we don't worry about, the government's coming to take our cars.
Yeah,
right?
we had Richard Feldman on the show. He's a head of an independent gun lobbying group. And I was like, if it saves one child's life, don't you want to have background checks if it saves one American kid's life? And he goes, what if it costs someone's life? I said, how could background checks cost a life? Well, what if I want to sell a gun to my daughter, but it's a Friday, and we have to wait till Monday for a background check?
That'd be horrible.
Like, stay inside for the weekend. You know, when they say that we should be allowed to sell our guns to friends without notifying the government and registering the gun, well, guess what? The Crips and the Bloods feel the exact same way. Criminals want to be able to sell guns to their friends without any pesky notification of the government as well. Keep track of them like we keep track of cars, and you know what? Go all the way and keep track of bullets.
Michael in Philadelphia is a Tea Partier who hates me. Hello, Michael. Good morning.
Oh, no. No, I don't hate you. I enjoy the show. It's a good show.
Okay, good.
I disagree with everything you say. I am a Tea Party conservative.
It's almost like we're married.
Yes, absolutely. I think that, number one, I would like you to speak a lot about the Department of Homeland Security buying over a billion rounds of ammunition, more ammunition than we used in 27 years of warfare.
Here we go.
Let's talk about
Well, you're talking about it.
And what are they planning to do?
God knows.
Why are you bringing it up?
Well, I'm saying if the Tea Party had bought a billion rounds of ammunition, I think you'd be going, what are they going to do with it? They're not under any government office.
But what's the Tea Party?
So what they're coming to?
What's the Tea Party?
The Tea Party are constitutionalists, pure and simple.
Is that a group? You're talking about a collection of individuals, right?
A collection of individuals.
Well, it's legal for them to buy that much ammunition if they want, right?
If they what?
It's legal for them to buy that much ammunition if they want, right?
I would suppose to buy more ammunition than our army used in 27 years of warfare.
It's legal. There's no laws against it, my friend.
That's right.
You got to remember, the Aurora.
Why do you hate the Second Amendment so much?
The Aurora shooter was able to buy 6,000 rounds of ammo online, and Tommy Chong went to jail for selling a bong. You're winning, pal. What are you complaining about?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm talking about to you. You're talking about a child that had an accident and killed himself, and you want to take away Second Amendment rights because of
that. No, that's not true. You're bearing false witness. That's a lie. That's a lie. Who's taking away your Second Amendment rights?
You're talking about registering every weapon.
How is that taking away your Second Amendment rights?
Why is it okay to register your car?
Your car's no right. It's not a Second Amendment right. And you trust the government far too much. You act like the government...
Okay, so you're one of those paranoid people.
Yes, I don't think the Homeland Security Department bought...
So you don't like the words well-regulated in the Second Amendment. You don't like those two words in the Second Amendment, right? I won't even bring up the third word.
What means well-regulated? What does
that
mean?
What do you think it means?
It means well-regulated. It means keeping track of the arms.
It does not. It never says that, and it never has said that.
It says well-regulated.
Well, what does it refer to, bowel regularity?
What does it mean to you?
First of all, what it means to me is the Second Amendment is simple. The Second Amendment was formed not for your personal protection, not for anything else. It was to stop a tyrannical government.
What do the two words well-regulated mean to you?
A well-regulated militia, that is, the courts have never stated in any way, shape, or form that that means the government should have control of all weapons or arms.
What does, that mean to you?
That's like saying the government has control of all cars.
Michael, right. How does the government, how do you have to, you having to register something, how does that mean the government controls it? The government doesn't control it or own it?
It's very simply, in our day and age, if they have the right to know what you have, and we've already seen it printed by complete morons who printed gun owners what they owned, and there was a rash of robberies breaking into those homes, stealing the guns.
Well, then you're not allowed to complain about crime or Fast and Furious or anything ever again.
You
don't want any
you're,
kind of regulations. You're fighting for proliferation. No, I'm not. You're fighting for gun proliferation and not keeping track of these kill machines, mister. No one's taking your rights away.
We have plenty of regulations on the dockets right now. There are tons of regulations.
My friend.
So why do you think there's, I don't know, about a billion times more gun deaths in America than any other country in the world?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the very simple fact that in the 1970s, 60-some percent of households had guns. Today it's down to 30, and the crime's through the roof. There were more guns in 1930 and 1920 in each household.
Yeah, but you know what there wasn't? There wasn't the kind of poverty we have now. We didn't see the middle class disappear because of 30 years of Reaganomics. You want to go broad with this? Let's go macro with it. Look, my friend, all you have to do is look at what Australia did in 1996, and it proves all of your argument wrong. I'm sure you're a very nice guy who loves his mama and loves his country.
Australians' murder rate and their assault rates are going through the roof.
No, they're not. There have been no mass killings since 96. No massacre since 96.
Hang on. Okay. This is the problem with the right-wing trolls is that they literally, it's like this Gail Trotter last night. These statistics are completely untrue.
We just did
a study, John. I just quoted a study. It is minuscule the amount of crime that is stopped by people with guns as compared to people that you're 43 times more likely to kill someone you know or love or friend or neighbor or acquaintance or love or family member if you have a gun in the home.
But you're right, Steph. It's like arguing with Reese Witherspoon when you're trying to give her a DUI.
All right. We need a right-wing troll notification.
This is a test. This is a test of the right-wing troll notification system. This is only a test.
Benghazi.
This has been a test of the right-wing troll notification system. Had this been an actual issue, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for half-baked information. This concludes this test of the right-wing troll notification system.
That was inaccurate because the Benghazi wasn't in all caps.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Your favorite show, Veep, one of our favorite shows,
that's
Veep,
right,
on HBO, just been renewed for the third season. One of our personal favorites, Anna Chlumsky, joins us now. Hey, Anna.
Hi.
Congratulations, killer ratings. You just got picked up.
For a third season.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, I didn't mean by a guy. I meant awesome.
By many, I suppose, but that's collectively our show, we got.
it's not often you say this. The show does just get funnier and funnier.
It really does. The second season is even funnier than the first season, if that's even possible.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. We like it too.
You play the, let me use the word, beleaguered
chief of staff. Yes, that's a great word.
For Julia Lily Dreyfus's character. I love how they describe it. Amy is constantly sacrificing her own reputation to save VP Selena Meyer's political credibility. And Chris, you were saying that you know people in these jobs, and it is so true to life.
We work with like chiefs of staff all the time, just booking people on Capitol Hill and stuff like that. And
sure.
you just capture the, I don't know, the barely contained frustration so well.
Oh, thank you so much. That's a real compliment, because I'm sure there are takes where I don't contain the frustration as much as others.
You say you got pointers from one of our personal friends, Barbara Boxer's chief of staff, who says your portrayal is so spot on, constantly on the BlackBerry, a little frenetic, and your life is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great to hear. That's a quote of hers. That's wonderful. She was amazing. This was probably, around the pilot in the first season. Amazing with her time and her energy and information to really help me unpack what Amy's all about. So yeah, and I've gotten to meet other chiefs of staff since, and it's a diverse crowd, but there are certain things that I think are a common thread.
Well, speaking of
BlackBerries and putting out fires.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of the real and the fictional melding, so I know the vice president called Julia and congratulated her and then had her to lunch at the White House. And
How about that?
And was saying that the actual vice president's whole staff watches the show and they were identifying with the characters. It was just bizarre. I mean,
isn't that, what a compliment. Like, that's just like, when he left the message for Julia came in and we stopped production for a second and she just played it for the whole crew because she was so excited. It's a great thing, and it just shows that you have to have a sense of humor when you work in such high stress environment like that. And also, when we did our DC premiere of the first season and you heard where people were laughing, it really does drive home for me the therapy of satire.
Yeah.
Because when you can, when you can laugh at some of the stuff that you have to go through during the day, I think that it makes the day easier. And so I like to think that we're providing that for some of the Beltway folks.
Well, speaking of plucking from real life, I know we all love text from Hillary. And apparently, I don't know if the episode aired yet, but she's caught tweeting at an inappropriate time. They're trying to recreate like the Bin Laden.
Yeah.
They're trying to recreate the Bin Laden raid, right? And she's caught tweeting during that.
Yes, exactly. She just can't catch a break, Selena.
And I love the, she tells her assistant, Gary, get some towels. I need to daughterboard her because her daughter did something embarrassing.
I think that's one of the favorite lines of the beginning of the season. I think that a lot of people have identified with that,
yeah.
with that line.
Anna, we've been fans of yours for a while. Here's a new fun fact I learned about you. People may think that My Girl is your first role, but you actually scored your first job, a modeling gig, when you were 10 months old.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. I've had quite a few gigs.
What is modeling like at 10 months old, I wonder? Is there actually a runway?
Or someone needs to tell her.
Yeah, you don't remember.
No way.
Well, I love the show is described as comedy is just a way of telling the truth faster than real life can. And it really is true.
I love that.
And our buddy Frank Rich is executive producer on the show, too.
Yes, he is. He's such a great person to have around. Oh, he's terrific, and he's a really good eater. We all like to go to restaurants together.
He's a good eater.
Yes.
I love that. Like he's six.
Hey Anna, I'm
I do tend to treat people that way, maybe, when it comes to food habits. I'm like, good eater, good for you.
John Pugelsang is here. He has a question.
Oh, yeah. Well, Anna, I'm a huge fan of the film In the Loop, which got the Oscar nomination for Best Screenplay here. And I was wondering if you could explain how it went from you being in that film with the same director to then working on the series with the same director. And what was the process? And did he just kind of like, was he so inspired by doing a political film that he got into doing a series?
He, okay, so the way it worked for us was the In the Loop was one of them. I'm so happy you love it. It was one of the happiest jobs I've ever done in my life. And it was, at that point, the happiest job. And then Veep came along, so now it's one of the happiest. And I just always knew that the way I work, it really jived with the way that Arm worked, and the writers are just so brilliant. And it's really my brand of humor. And yeah,
Anna, we're out of time. We're so sorry. We love you.
Sorry.
Come back soon, Anna Schlumps.
That was the wrong question.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Friday, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Good news for America, bad news for Republicans. Job numbers are out. Added 165,000 jobs last month. Unemployment down to 7.5%. Thanks, Obama.
Why does he hate capitalism?
Sexy liberal John Pugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours Friday with Pugelsang. Why, looky here, can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com like Dale did. He says, Steph, I believe that an instrument in reducing the influence of loony true idiocy, i.e. Glenn Beck, is to boycott the sponsors of such idiocy. Imagine my surprise when I discovered you have a common sponsor, GoToMeeting. It leaves me in a quandary. I can't call for a boycott of GoToMeeting because I love your show, but I also hate Glenn Beck. What's a listener to do? Well, you go to meeting.com and you type Stephanie in the box is what you do. You do that immediately. Not an aficionado of the boycotts here. It hurts everybody in radio.
That's right.
That's how you fight back. Type Stephanie in every box you can find this weekend. All right. I'm not sure what I meant by that. All right, bring me my personal comedy joke. Mm. Hello, Comedy Jesus.
Good morning, my child.
As you know, Rhode Island has become the nation's 10th state to allow gay and lesbian couples to wed after a 16-year effort to extend marriage rights in the heavily Roman Catholic state.
Sodom and Gomorrah Island.
By the way, did you mention that to Bill Donahue when he was on your show for that classic interview that there is majority support among Catholics for marriage equality now?
Yeah, and you know, I was just like, aren't you just tired of it? Don't you just want to drop the hate and just love your gay brothers and sisters already, like Jesus told you to? But no, you don't raise money that way.
Nope.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
What's behind much homophobia.
But you said you got him to say that Jesus never said anything about
I got him to admit it. Yeah, I got him to admit by the end. You know, he knew nothing about Leviticus. I mean, you should watch the interview. I said, like, well, do you like bacon? He goes, yeah. I'm like, do you work on Saturday? Yeah. Are there more than one fiber in your shirt? Yeah. I said, then you're as bad as George Michael Knight at the Ramrod Bathhouse. Come on. You're breaking Leviticus. And he, you know, and he's like, that's not as bad as anal sex between men. And I'm like, well, it depends on the guy's personality. But I, you know, and by the end of it, I kept at him. And then he went off into the child molesting thing with the church and Bill Maher. And I said, you know, Bill, when you right-wing Catholics do that, to the casual observer, it looks like you're more upset about the scorn over child rape than you are about the child rape.
Yeah.
And I got him to admit that, no, he's most angry at the church for not calling 911. And then I got him to admit that Jesus never said a thing about gay people. You can break them down is what I'm trying to say.
Yikes.
Use their own logic against them.
Joel from St. Paul writes, Steph and the Mooks, regarding the florist in Washington State who declined to provide floral arrangements for gay couples' wedding because it conflicted with her quote-unquote relationship with Christ, does she also refuse to provide floral arrangements for straight couples if either the bride or groom is divorced, because Jesus was very clear on that? I mean, same stuff you talk about all the time, John.
Matthew 19, Jesus never said a thing about gay people. They try to use Matthew 19 when he says male and female, he made them. But Matthew 19 is Jesus overturning the anti-woman divorce laws of the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, it says if a man no longer delights in his wife, he can kick her to the curb. Jesus was saying, you do that, and then you marry again, you make your wife an adulterer, you make yourself an adulterer. He was Jesus coming out not against gay weddings, but against straight divorce.
Here, you know,
which means you got to really hate Rush Limbaugh.
Right. A lot. By the way, so the Republicans' minority outreach,
Computer says no.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, no, the Daily Beast with a great piece about immigration reform and the GOP's anti-gay suicide mission. The Senate Republicans, key Senate Republicans, threatened to sink the entire immigration reform initiative if it includes a provision allowing gay American citizens to bring their life partners into the country.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Jeff Flake said it's a deal breaker for most Republicans. He's already the least popular member of the United States Senate for his gun vote. And anyway, Marco Rubio, Florida, said, if that issue is injected into this bill will fail. It will not have the support. It will not have my support. The Daily Beast writing, really? Republicans will deep-six the entire effort and demolish themselves with Latino voters, business interests, and young people to prevent gay people from having someone take care of them?
Yep. That makes Rubio happy, by the way, because then Rubio manages to dodge a bullet and do nothing but still claim we tried to help you Latinos. Republicans really did, but those Democrats and the damn gays. This is Pat Leahy. He introduced a similar bill back in 2003. No one's really sure if he's doing it deliberately to screw up the GOP effort or if he's really doing it out of sincerity. I think we've all gotten used to the Democratic Party throwing gays under the parade float at the last minute. But at the same time, it manages to do the two things that Republicans hate, being nice to gay people and helping immigrants.
Yeah. Well, this is what the Daily Beast piece is pointing out. These days, opposition to gay equality is heavily concentrated among white evangelical Protestants who are, of course, heavily concentrated in the Republican Party. But they're increasingly isolated from the electorate as a whole. They write, even as I just said, even a solid majority of Catholics now support gay marriage. So anyway, they're saying the constituency for policies disadvantaging gay and lesbian couples is withering, and this is where the Senate Republicans want to make their stand. I mean, this is how their outreach is going to, you know, minority voters, to the young, to, I mean, this whole coalition that Obama put together, right?
But this is their whole problem, Stephanie, is that they keep trying to figure out how to help them get minority votes, but they don't try to figure out how to help minority Americans.
Yeah. And by the way, I love this one line in the Daily Beast piece. This is a profoundly conservative promise. Two people look after each other so that the community, the government, much of the time doesn't have to. Isn't that what? I mean, you know, it really is. That's exactly why when Ted Olson wrote the conservative case for gay marriage, the cover of Newsweek, it was just astounding. It was so compelling.
Well, and it's why progressives have to take the whole patriotism label away from conservatives. You want to know why we wanted single-payer health care? You want to know why we don't want wars we don't need? You want to know why we want background checks for guns? To save American lives. We're the real patriots.
The president on immigration reform.
I'm optimistic about us getting this done because it's the right thing to do. We've seen leaders from both parties indicate that now's the time to get comprehensive immigration reform done.
I'm optimistic that we're going to get it done because it's the right thing for the Republicans to do politically, but I don't really care why they're doing it.
But they're in a tough spot because on the one hand, it seems like it's the right thing to do politically, but if they allow this to happen under Obama's watch, remember what LBJ said about the Civil Rights Act of 64, you know, a lot of Republicans are afraid that Barack Obama will own, that the Democratic Party will own the Latino voting bloc for a generation.
Yeah.
It's too bad you've been so prejudiced against them for so long.
I heard some right-wing radio hosts yesterday, Chris, saying the word amnesty. They just don't seem like they even have the same energy they used to. Remember, it used to be, amnesty, Scarlett A. Now they're like, amnesty.
And if we may, this...
We lost this issue, too.
Yeah, amnesty is what Ronald Reagan gave out in 1986, okay? If you don't like amnesty, you got to throw out your Reagan love doll. The real problem with this bill is not that it's amnesty. It's that no one's going to observe it. If you want to have this pathway to citizenship, you're going to have to pay so many fines, possibly leave the country and reapply for citizenship. There's fees, there's penalties. And the fact is, if you've been an undocumented worker in this country doing low-wage jobs for years while trying to make a living below the living wage, you might not have the money available. And the problem we face, and it's a bipartisan problem, is a lot of these guys may just choose to go on working under the radar because they don't have the money for the shakedown.
Yep. The president yesterday.
The bill that Senator Rubio and others put forward, I think, is a great place to start. It doesn't contain everything I want. What I'm not going to do is to go along with something where we're looking for an excuse not to do it, as opposed to a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And Marco Rubio yesterday on the same subject.
We cannot leave in place what we have now. What we have now is de facto amnesty. It is chaos. It's terrible for the country.
That's the point I was making for years, John. The last time they torpedoed this, I didn't get it. Because you're automatically giving amnesty to how many millions of people?
By not doing anything. My fear is they're all trying to find a way to look like they're doing something while doing nothing. The real demon here is exploited labor. You know, as Tom Hartman likes to say, we didn't get rid of slavery, we outsourced it. Exploiting labor is still the backbone of this country. And if you outlaw all illegal immigration, a salad's going to cost $40. People like to exploit poor workers. So, and at the border, these guys have a giant sign that says, help wanted. I mean, the problem is, how are they going to be able to do this in a way? And do they even really want to do it? Because it means wages go up.
Yep, the president yesterday in Mexico, President Obama yesterday.
I updated the president on our efforts in the United States to pass common sense, comprehensive immigration reform that lives up to our tradition as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants.
And the other thing, John, their talking points are not working anymore is because, you know, the border is provably more secure than it's been in years. So that argument has...
I think it's important for everybody to remember that our shared border is more secure than it's been in years. Illegal immigration attempts into the United States are near their lowest level in decades. And legal immigration continues to make both of our countries stronger and more prosperous and more competitive. And this in part reflects the economic progress and greater opportunities here in Mexico. I think this progress should help inform the debate in the United States.
So let me get this straight. Illegal immigration is at net zero increase, and he's moved National Guard troops to the borders and has a record number of deportations. Why is this president a Mexican Muslim?
Exactly. And he finished.
I'm optimistic that we're finally going to get comprehensive immigration reform passed.
All right, me too.
All righty.
Let's go to Neil in Staten Island. Hello, Neil. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Is it okay with the television on? I can turn it down if it isn't.
It's all good. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's
listen,
what she said.
I have a question about your troll alarm using uh-huh. Benghazi.
Yes.
Do you really think that's up to the standards of your show to laugh about Benghazi at all?
It's not laughing about Benghazi.
It's about the fact that how many more people were killed at embassies around the world under Bush, and did you ever hear a story about any of them?
It's about it's laughing at how the deaths have been exploited, sir. It's laughing at the cynical political exploitation mm-hmm. yeah. of those deaths by people for cheap political points against the president who were never upset with Bush after 9/11 was warned and ignored. Go on, please.
Am I still on?
You are.
Yeah, go ahead. John, let him talk. Go ahead.
No, I don't cry over spilt milk. Look, let's talk about present.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. 9/11 was spilt milk, but Benghazi we should talk about that every day.
No, I don't. We're not concerned with that right now. What is ongoing?
What? What do you mean? We're not concerned because it happened a few years ago?
To examine the competence of our government and Hillary Clinton and the State Department.
This couldn't be because you're afraid Hillary Clinton's going to be president in 2016, could it? Oh, dear, it's time again.
It's like
is a test. This is a test of the right-wing troll notification system. This is only a test.
Benghazi.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Bugle-Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
My Belle, these are words that go together well.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. John, we've been talking about the Boston case, obviously, as you have on Viewpoint. And the latest news, the two brothers carrying out the tax had originally planned to set off the bombs on July 4th.
Yeah.
But they advanced the dates of the attack as they completed building the bombs more quickly, I guess, than they had originally anticipated. They had also considered suicide attacks. They had viewed the online sermons of Anwar al-Awlaki. Am I saying that correctly? Yes.
You are.
But may I just say, that was the best drone we ever sent, the one that killed that guy.
No, it wasn't, because it killed a 16-year-old son, too. It was one of the worst drones we ever sent.
I disagree. Okay.
It killed his 16-year-old son. That's the problem.
That guy radicalized, I don't know, how many of the, with the Fort Hood shooter, how many others here?
I know. It sucks being the good guy. He killed a 16-year-old. It's just, it
Representative Ooh. Peter King of New York.
There's just a lot of unanswered questions here. Some of it is human error, but some of it may require the Justice Department to change its procedures as to how much leeway the FBI gets when it conducts these investigations.
Well,
Peter King hates terrorists, unless it's the 80s and they have cool Irish accents.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you know how much he hates terror.
But he even admitted, John, that, you know, the Russians did not give us all the information. If they had, the FBI obviously would have, you know, investigated differently. Yeah.
No, we're in the golden age of realizing that the Republican Party uses terrorist attacks to attack anyone they don't like. It's never about American lives. It's always about, we got to go after Iraq for this. Well, Iraq didn't do it. And after Libya, we have to go after Barack for this. Well, no, you didn't. And now it's the same exact thing. They're trying to smear a president when 10 years ago they used a terror attack to make us cheer a president.
Yeah, exactly right. But here's the good news for us, I suppose, is that a lot of the mainstream is just it's melding with the lunatic fringe. It's State yeah. Representative Stella Tremblay. Have you seen this woman, the Republican?
God.
Right.
Yeah.
From Auburn. She told a conservative
New Hampshire, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yes. She told a conservative talk show host Tuesday that she knows the federal government was behind the attacks because Jeff Bauman, the bombing victim who helped identify the suspects, was not screaming in agony after both his legs were blown off.
No, really?
It's a special kind of evil, isn't it? It's just you have to serve your evil over everything.
That's like Sam Neill in the Omen 3 kind of evil.
She's a Republican legislator. That
you mean
true.
The screenwriter of Omen 3 kind of evil?
Yes.
Ray in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing? It's the official truth brother, the Stephanie Miller Show. You got a troll problem.
Yes, mm-hmm.
yes, we need troll be gone.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to throw out a little bit of logic out here. You know, we register cars to help keep the roads safe, so in case somebody goes crazy and drives through a bunch of people, we can track the car and figure out who did it. Mm-hmm. Driving a car is a privilege. Owning a gun is your right, but it's an ultimate responsibility, so we have to make sure that you're responsible with your right. We do this with your house.
Right.
Your right to privacy is your house, but your house is registered. We know where you live, mm-hmm. but no one's going to come take your house unless you don't pay for it. Owning yeah. a gun is the ultimate responsibility with your right. You have a right to own a gun, but you also have a significant responsibility to have something that can kill your neighbor.
You're talking like a responsible patriot.
What? That's crazy.
That's illegal.
Responsible, law-abiding patriot. That's what one sounds like.
What the? Daily Beast writing with friends like Johar. Three. This is not a sitcom, but three guys, a backpack, and a
pressure cooker.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Johar. Right, classmates figured out he was being hunted, so they watched a movie in his room and destroyed evidence. So, John, there's some, you know, here's one of the roommate's attorney.
I'm not sure a 19-year-old college student understands the gravity of such a situation like this. And they did not intentionally or knowingly destroy evidence.
Well,
if you're 19 years old, you know it's dangerous to carry weed for your roommate. Give me a break.
I know. They said they initially had no idea of their friend's alleged plot, but started to put the pieces together when the photos of the brothers were broadcast on TV. But, I understand there is some people have some questions about whether that's true or not. And I think there are questions to be answered.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Let's see.
You know, it's the sort of thing where the media is going to flog these deaths for ratings. But you know what? It's really important. People need to know, and we need to know how it's happening.
Yeah. Charlie Rangel said, that's why I just don't believe their story is telling the truth. To take a good laptop and throw it in the dumpster in front of your house along with a backpack, no. You know, normally you'd think they're kids and it's childish behavior, but all coming from the same country, all of them knowing each other, talking to each other, there's a story there. I mean, you know, and they had said that Johar had said at a dinner, like told them that he made a bomb. I mean, just a lot of it doesn't add up right now.
Yeah, it
right?
does prove, though, however, we're not dealing with Al-Qaeda masterminds. These are a bunch of random individual knuggleheads.
Right, they panicked.
That's what we're up against.
Right, they panicked.
It's a criminal issue. We're not at war with a country. It's
right.
criminals.
Right. This is mark this down on the calendar. I agree with John McCain.
What?
He actually.
Oh,
well,
well,
what?
Yeah.
What? Maybe I can get on Meet the Press this weekend.
You have a better chance now.
He called for Congress to take a closer look in the holes of the immigration system following the arrests. He just said, John, he said, maybe it's part of the overall immigration reform. We should look at the process of who's allowed in the country, under what circumstances, what their situation and background, particularly from countries Like, you know, he was talking about Chechnya and Dagestan and others where there's been a significant influence of radical Islamic extremism. I mean, that's the one thing where you a reasonable person, right or left, John, you can kind of go, wait a minute. So they asked for asylum here, but they were allowed to travel back and forth and back and forth. They lived on, obviously, taxpayer they got benefits. They lived on the federal benefits. He said, it just seems to me these people are able to come and go as freely as certainly one of the brothers was and one of the individuals. We have a system that certainly needs some repair. Why was he allowed to come back into the country if his visa was revoked? This seems to be a common thread through this whole tragedy.
Lee Harvey Oswald going to Cuba and being allowed back, going to Russia and being allowed back kind of stuff. But you know what's interesting about that? The same right-wingers who keep telling us that we can't penalize all gun owners because of the actions of a misbehaving few are now saying we got to punish all immigrants, crack down on immigration reform, and stop having a social safety net because these guys exploited it.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, Stephanie, gently extend your arm. Extend your middle finger. Very good. Well done.
Go for it, Stephanie.
Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fugle saying 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mike in Tennessee. Hey, Mike, welcome. Hello. Okay. Mike was overexcited.
Scared. That's a beautiful man.
All right. Huh? Is he back? Okay. Hello, Sean in Des Moines, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Stephanie. Oh, I've waited so long. It's so good to talk to you and the gang. But, you know, I just don't understand why, you guys got to be infringing on the rights that people have died for. Both my grandfathers fought during World War II.
You're going to go there, huh? You're really going to do this? You're really going to do it this way?
John, let me talk. Go ahead.
Goodness with you. And if you guys don't like it, you guys can pipe up like you do. And I don't think there's a lot of other Americans that don't like when you do this Benghazi, insult with your, think it's funny. John,
nobody thinks Benghazi is funny, sir.
No.
We think your hypocrisy is funny.
At least when you had some sympathy for that 16-year-old kid. When I was in Iraq, we didn't fucking kill anyone.
Whoa, we dropped an F-bomb on us. All right.
Did you get that current?
Not certain what that was about, John. Are you?
Yeah, that's a liar. That's a troll. That's a fake patriot. That's a guy who thinks that because he carried a gun in this war, because he signed up and went and served his country, that he gets to come and insult us. Let me tell you something. We're the patriots, mister, and I know you're still listening, so I'll say it again. No one's trying to take away your entertainment. And that's all these guns are. Mm-hmm. It's not about your Second Amendment rights, sir. Those are completely safe. Unless you're a criminal, unless you're criminally insane, or unless you're a terrorist, no one's going to deny you your guns. You're going to be able to survive a background check. Your rights are uninfringed. You are not a constitutionalist. You're a guy who thinks Red Dawn was a documentary.
Yes, and he may want to go back to history class because his relatives fought in World War II exclusively for his right to have a gun. Excuse me? You might have missed a couple other things World War II was about.
To be a part of a well-regulated militia.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
Yes.
Right. Jeff in Atlanta. Hi, Jeff. Welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to say to all these T-Birchers and gun nerds that keep calling up and say, well, Constitution this and Constitution that. Let me tell you something. Those people, you are not more patriotic or more constitutional or pro-Constitution than me. And I'm tired of it. It does not make your arguments any more constitutional just by saying the word constitutional over and over than it makes your arguments or you more scientific to say the word scientifical over and over.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
And can I say that we are the real constitutionalists over here? We're the ones who are in order to form a more perfect union, are trying to ensure domestic tranquility. Okay, we're trying to promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. That's what we're trying to do by saving American lives by having common sense, popular, legal gun legislation that still respects the right of law-abiding citizens to bear arms. We're the constitutionalists.
And
you're
by the
a guy
way,
who buys too, who hasn't any Glenn Beck books.
Yeah, we're doing a public mental health service here, aren't we? People have a lot of things stuck in a lot of craws this morning.
Absolutely.
Right?
Ooh, I love it.
It's like a political colon blow this morning. It's like,
guys, prove us wrong. Like, give us an argument we haven't heard. Prove us wrong. You win. Uh-oh. You get to have all your toys and entertainment.
That's like a troll mating call he just gave.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, John. Okay, John, and there go the phones. Thank you. John in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hello, I'd like to point out that the constitutionalists of the Tea Party, when they tell you that the Second Amendment was put in there to protect against tyranny of government, it really is in error. The reason the Second Amendment was put in the Constitution was to protect property, was to protect assets. In other words, it was to allow the South to join the Union and protect their business, which happened to be slaves. I'll hang up and listen to that point.
All right.
You're exactly right, and you're brilliant. You know, listen to the Vice President of the Confederacy's Cornerstone speech, where he laid out that it was all about slavery, and that's all it was ever about. And this is all about entertainment. This is all about wanting to believe the second half of the First Amendment while ignoring the first half of it.
Yep, there you go. John in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hey, Steph. Let me just throw this in. My father was a World War II vet, also a Purple Heart winner. His ship got hit by a kamikaze, and he had common sense, which is why he was a Democrat and would love you.
Aww.
But the other side of that, I have to agree with you about the drone and the 16-year-old, and I'm sorry, this is the common sense thing, but again, and that is, you know, if a guy is driving 90 miles an hour recklessly, putting everybody in danger, and happens to have his kid there, and he crashes, do we blame the highway patrol chasing him? I mean, this guy put his son in danger. You know,
I have to give a correction.
It wasn't our fault. It wasn't our fault. That 16-year-old, but it wasn't our fault that 16-year-old, and certainly not the worst drone and not the biggest. The drone was one of the better ones. I totally agree with you, Steph, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
And I've been informed. I've also been informed that his son was killed in a separate drone strike 2 weeks later. But, you know, we have some real problems with how we conduct the drone strikes in the use of language, and I think it could be done in a much smarter way, acknowledging everyone, conservative and liberal, acknowledges this is how wars are going to be fought from now on. It's going to keep boots off the ground. We like it, but there's ways to do it that don't make other countries hate us.
Yeah, John, I don't disagree with you. I think, like I say, it's just because we've, particularly with the Bush Library just opening and Whitewashatorium, I mean, you know, somebody was mentioning, John, that one of the first shock and awe bombs took out blocks bag that nobody said it. You know what I mean? It's just when you compare it to, where they thought Saddam Hussein was. I mean, took out blocks. I mean, how many, I just think that, you know, coming out of this completely unnecessary, an illegal war, I guess that's that. Maybe you're right. It's lesser of two evils kind of thing, but it sure is, right? Number one. And number two, you think, who knows if we would have even had to go into Afghanistan if, we had pursued bin Laden the way the president did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. If we just had SEAL Team 6 back then, we could have taken these guys out individually. We began drone strikes 10 years ago. We didn't need to commit all these troops to the ground in Afghanistan where we can waste all this money. And now we find out that just millions and millions of bribes to the Karzai government.
Yep. Let's go to Tony in Indianapolis. You're on with John. Hey, Tony.
Good morning, Steph, Mooks, and John. How are you guys?
Hello.
Hey, I was just calling. I think I might have accidentally stumbled upon a possible explanation for the crazy right-wing arguments.
Okay.
I'm a long-suffering liberal Vietnam veteran, actually a little bit disabled, and I've tried to figure out why it is that when you have a discussion with a right-winger, that it just doesn't seem to make any sense, and it's so frustrating. Well, years ago, an attorney friend of mine told me that when something makes no sense, it's due to facts not in evidence. And it kind of reminds me, once in a while I get in an argument with my wife, and I'll be pounding my face against the wall trying to figure out what the problem is. And I learned later that her problem was actually not even what we were arguing about.
Right. Have you ever gotten in that argument that you have no idea what you're arguing about anymore? You really are
exactly.
In that.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't. And when you get in an argument with a right-winger, they parrot this stuff, you know, from our buddy Rush or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, that doesn't make any sense, and here's why. And then they switch the subject.
Well, yeah.
So
I mean,
here's what I think is the real underlying thing with right-wingers today. I think that when Mr. Obama was elected president. They seriously think that they've lost the country, that it's over, that, and so they're so flipped out about it and paranoid about it, but they won't discuss that. And so this gun thing, I think, along with a lot of their other arguments and issues, is really, they want their guns because they seriously think that they've lost their government, and it's going to come down to them needing those guns.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, as a veteran, it tickles me pink to think that these moron fat guys are going to be able to defend themselves with their 45 AR-15s
exactly.
against our military.
Well, it's all these armchair exactly. heroes who've, like, if I was in the movie theater yeah. in Colorado, yeah. what I would have did is, no, you wouldn't have, Buford.
And that's
you
when
would
you
have
all...
beat your pants is what you
yeah,
would have done. Please.
Yep. And you got to ask them, what do you need these guns for, to kill soldiers or to kill cops? Go ahead, Steph. Sorry.
Tony, I was going to say, I know what you mean, because I was just arguing with one of the Gail Trotter, this gun nut spokesperson on CNN last night. And literally, like, we're talking about a five-year-old who shot his two-year-old sister yeah. with his gun.
If you really look at all their stuff, Steph, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Right.
But,
no, go ahead.
But it always makes no sense, and you can't figure it out, and you're, like,
right.
slamming your face. And I live in...
right-wing
heaven, and I right. all of my contemporaries and clients, everybody, they're all right-wingers, and I get they're smart, educated. I get talking to them, and it's like it makes no sense. And so
right.
it occurred to me recently, and that's why I wanted to make this call, that the reason it makes no sense is because they're not really telling you what their argument is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I mean. You could tell...
They have
right.
lost...
Right.
If white people aren't running this country... They've lost it, and that covers
yeah.
the immigration. They don't want more
well,
brown people. They believe they're flipped out because they think, and they won't admit it. The reason they want their guns is they believe that at some point the brown people are going to take their stuff, and they've got to defend,
yeah.
and that's
yeah.
the deal. They
and
don't
that, and that, you
it.
Can tell when the talking point goes out, because yesterday it was swimming pools, because apparently, John, everybody else on CNN said
yeah.
that everybody said, oh, yeah. what about swimming pools? It's like, what does that have to do with whether it's okay to market and sell guns to five-year-olds? I mean, it's just...
And why are they
right.
so paranoid? Who filled their heads with this? In
right.
many cases, it's been Wayne LaPierre and the
Glenn
NRA.
Beck.
They're making it easier for the
right.
criminals to arm themselves at gun shows. Then they're telling the NRA members, criminals
right.
are arming themselves, buy more guns.
It
all about profit.
It reminded me of that crazy Wayne LaPierre press conference. She started blathering at me about video games. And video games has nothing to do with
no.
this case. There were no video games involved.
No.
It's...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally.
And every country that has gun legislation and a lower murder rate has the same violent video games and movies we do.
Yep. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugle Slang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Love, love, love. How do you like it? How do you like it? Love, love, love. How do you like it? How do you like
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Take it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50
Did you just
minutes.
Say take it?
Take it. Take it more. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free. From I was having a flashback to when John Fugelsang was schooling Bill Donahue.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's stuck in my head. More Daddy Moore and the nipple clamps. All right. 1-800.
He begged for it.
1-800.
We're going to get a call from the Catholic League, you know.
He calls me now. The Catholic League. It's only Bill Donahue and a red phone and a six-pack.
Yeah.
And a pulley slides down if a talk show calls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Dave in London, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hi, how are you doing? Good afternoon from sunny London. It's a great day here.
Wow.
I'm listening on Ustream. Ustream is the hottest place to listen to you guys. I got to tell you, the chat room rocks.
Wow. Awesome.
But while I was on hold, I actually YouTube John Tiglesang's interview with Bill Donahue, and all I got to say is, wow.
Oh,
that
thank
was
you.
Awesome.
There is no safe word. John Fugelsang, don't do it if you're not man enough.
It was great. It was on the immigration thing. I need you guys to talk me off the ledge because I'm having Obama first term flashbacks because I'm, you know, a binational same-sex couple. We're living here in Doma exile. We've been here in London for 2 years because my partner's British and we can't live in the U.S.
Wow.
And I hear about, you know, this gang of eight and how, you know, Mark Rubio saying, well, if this is included, the bill is dead.
Right. Yeah, if gay people take the care, take, right? If gay people get to take care of each other, then I'm out. Right?
Absolutely. And yeah. I say call their bluff. The Republicans are desperate for immigration reform to prove that they don't hate brown people.
Yeah. Yeah. Lose the entire Latino and gay vote for the next, you know, century. Go ahead.
And the other thing I hear is, well, you have to understand this is bigger than one issue. That's like saying, yes, we agree secondhand smoke is bad, therefore we're only going to smoke at your house from now on.
Exactly.
It's hard not to get really frustrated because, one, you know, my parents are older, and the fact that to visit them is this huge logistical nightmare for my partner to come to the United States. This affects real people's lives. There's thousands of binational same-sex couples who literally, this bill will decide whether or not American citizens can ever come home and live in their own country.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's how serious this is. And so the fact that you guys are one of the few national radio programs that talk about this on a regular basis, you're our heroes.
Oh,
believe me. Here in London, we talk about you guys all the time.
Well, thank you. Honey, you know,
tour here.
Oh, it's a London. Wow. Good idea. You know, we were saying, it's interesting. I was reading this Daily Beast article earlier on the air, but about, you know, they were saying something about, you know, to have and to hold is a little hard when you can't get in the country. You can't be at someone's bedside who's dying. You know, I mean, it's just the whole thing is it's a human issue, John. It crosses, I mean, not just partisan lines,
that.
It crosses international lines.
You should have thought about that before you were born gay, sir.
Exactly. All right, Kathy in Seattle writes, Steph, your attempts at the Boston Doofus' names was totes adorbs.
Yeah.
That's why I don't say it anymore. I just say...
Azamat Ajayako.
Right, that guy.
Azamat
The dead guy, Ajayaku. The live one, and the two roommate guys. Those two guys.
The two roommate guys are even worse to pronounce than the
right.
Two bombing guys.
Yeah, John, I suggested this story is designed to make me retire, because I was like, really? You gotta be kidding me. Really? These are the two new guys now? There's two roommates.
You have a hard enough time pronouncing your own name.
Just when I got Zubidot and Johar. Okay.
As a really white guy with an ethnic name, I'm conflicted by all of this. It was kind of funny that when the bombing happened for the first week, half of America was saying, please don't let it be a Muslim terrorist, and the other half was saying, please don't let it be a white guy. And then, hey, it's a white guy Muslim terrorist. Everybody wins.
Everyone's like, wait a minute, what? Oh, come on. Sing it with us, John. You know you want to.
Go. Here we go.
Azubidot.
It's a reality show.
Uh-huh.
Azubidot.
Okay.
She's the most high-strung character of all of these people.
Yeah, she's awesome. The Kardashians are a skirt. Anyway, your attempts at pronunciation totes adorbs, kind of like watching a young fawn tenderly approach a wildflower, all innocence and timidity.
Oh,
or it
really?
Could be that the nuns put some fear into you. You're still getting over. I know about this. Actually, it's the moose, Kathy. I'm already, like, I get nervous because I know you're going to give me crap whether I pronounce it right or not. And you're the one that put the original L in Zubeldot.
Well, the
no
I look like an L.
Well, yeah.
I need glasses.
And you're like, you idiot, it's not Zubeldot. That's what you told me it was.
You have the smartest listeners and the nastiest trolls.
Yes, we do.
Oh, all right, and here's the other big news, John. The Boston Marathon suspect's remains have been claimed. Weekend at Tamerlan's is it's ready to rock and roll. Because you heard that the widow... Wait, do I have my body fall? I love the widow.
Yeah.
You heard she didn't want it. She's like, I don't want it. You take it. No, you take it. I don't want it. You take it.
I believe they found someone who would give him a funeral. There was some question as to who would even provide a funeral
right.
for him.
Right. The uncle said the family would take the body because, the widow didn't want it or whatever. But it's like, because we were saying we can, you know, it's... we've been... Oh, that's where the water skiing scene came from that we keep... Right. Weekend at Tamerlan's, because Weekend at Bernie's member had a water ski.
They took Bernie water skiing.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. You remember, John? Yeah.
Oh, yes. It was a classic film, of course.
Oh, and we were...
I love talking about that
By
movie.
Popular demand, someone wanted to hear the original bit. This is a little bit old.
This is a... Yeah, this was from the 90s, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, when Tammy Wynette passed away.
Right, passed away, and her daughters wanted to dig her up.
Right.
Because they wanted to sue her her husband and the doctor so they could make more money off of her still.
Yeah.
And we found it somewhat unseemly. That's
coming soon to a theater near you. It's Tammy Wynette and her three daughters in Weekend at Tammy's.
Come on, Mama. You can still sing.
Help me prop her up.
Come on, Mama.
Mama, come on.
Get up, Mama.
Make us some more money, Mama.
Put the guitar in her hand.
Just ain't trying.
Strum, Mama, strum.
Whee, Mama, another road trip. Ain't this fun?
Mama, your turn to drive.
taking care of the sun.
I know, let's take her water skiing.
Yeah.
Come on, Mama.
You're doing great, Mama. Good.
Oh. I'm so happy since we dug Mama back up, aren't you?
Yeah, she's going to make us a lot more money.
Look out, Mama.
Don't forget to turn, Mama.
Weekend at Demi's, coming soon to a theater near you.
Oh, God.
Okay.
We're going to hell.
I blame Carlos El Rocky for that. That was all. As I recall, that was all his idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Strum, Mama, strum.
Don't forget to strum. Bob.
We got nothing from John. Are you okay, John?
I'm in a trauma ward right now.
He's in the New York Bureau with a springtime for Hitler face.
You have rendered me speechless. I don't know what to say.
Bob in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I want to talk about immigration. The real people that created this problem, I just wish they would raise their right hand and say I did, because I've got two questions. Why do people come to this country to find a better living, to make a better wage, to be able to support their family? And what do the top 1% or 2% want to be called? Job creators, which are conservatives. And if you mention the dirty word union to these people that come to this country, they freak out.
Yep, yep. By the way, OPEIU, our friends, they won their taxi fight in Las
they
Vegas
did.
that we talked about. Yoo-hoo! Union! 58 minutes after the hour, right back. Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. It's Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang, all 3 hours in the New York
Hello.
Bureau.
Filling
in for the ailing Jim Ward. All right. So, wow, lots of big news this morning. The Labor Department reported that non-farm payrolls rose by 165,000 jobs last month, while unemployment went down to 7.5%. How about that there?
Damn.
The report also substantially boosted the number of new jobs created in the prior 2 months, as Jackie and I were just talking about. March's payrolls were raised to 138,000, some 50,000 more jobs than previously reported. February's job count revised upward to 332,000, the largest since May 2010. Economists had been expecting job creation of about 145,000 to 150,000. And as I said, John, I'm sure the right wing will go back and retroactively apologize to the president for the things they said about the last 2 months.
Jobs Wait a numbers. Second. You're saying the jobless numbers are down and we're no longer losing right. 800,000 jobs a month like
Correct.
We were the month Bush left office?
Right. Yep.
I have to go have my head explode.
Yep. Thanks, Obama. Yeah, well, our current internet obsession is Jenna Marbles. This is her latest. It's a parody on how everyone blames the president for everything ever.
Ever since Obama has been reelected president, this whole country has gone to Let me show you what I mean and how bad it is. Perfume smells like Thanks, Obama. My dog took a giant on the carpet. Thanks, Obama. Ugh, just got my period again. Thanks, Obama. This book sucks. Thanks, Obama. This porno isn't even any good. Thanks, Obama. SPF 30? That's racist. I need at least SPF 50. Thanks, Obama. Time travel? Still not an option. Thanks, Obama. This sandwich tastes exactly the same as the inside of my Thanks, Obama. It's almost Valentine's Day. Thanks, Obama. Nobody even liked my Facebook status. Thanks, Obama. Condom broke again. Thanks, Obama. My kid punched another kid in the face at school today. Thanks, Obama. You know what? I'm probably gonna die someday. Thanks, Obama. Hunger Games? More like, thanks, Obama. My boyfriend keeps trying to put his in my Thanks, Obama. Rap music. Thanks, Obama. Justin Bieber still not following me on Twitter. Thanks, Obama. God, my arms are so sore. Thanks, Michelle Obama.
This message was brought to you by the Teletubbies.
hilarious. And guess what? It only gets worse, Republicans. Hillary Clinton clears the field as a Democratic candidate of choice in a new 2016 poll. She crushes every other potential Democratic contender, John. A new Quinnipiac poll, 65%. Yikes. of the party support. Joe Biden, poor Joe, is second with 13%.
Yeah.
Followed by Andrew Cuomo at 4%, Deval Patrick, Martin O'Malley, and Mark Warner all registered at all 1% or less.
Mark Warner? He's a contender?
Virginia senator.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah.
1%.
It's going to be great.
If she decides to run, Biden, if she decides not to run, excuse me, Biden does almost as well as she does against the rest of the field. So obviously that's the whole, but the early guessing, John, is that she's going to, right?
Wait till Ted Cruz gets in the race, baby.
Right.
Then you'll see things get shaken up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to run. She's definitely going to run. She's giving speeches already. It's going to happen. And she will be one of the oldest people elected president and maybe our first grandma elected president.
Remember,
it's going to be pretty interesting.
I know. Remember Ann Romney saying it's our turn and how people, I think, honestly, I think legitimately a lot of people feel like it's her turn. It really is. She's earned it. Not entitled to it like, you know, the Romneys seem to
Well, there are those who think she is entitled to it. And I got to say, how great will it be as Americans who had a war to get away from inherited power 200 years ago from England if we see a Bush versus a Clinton for president in 2016?
Oi, 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 oi. I agree with Barbara.
Hilarious.
Bush. We've had enough. We have Bush fatigue.
I'm still holding out hope that Elizabeth Warren runs.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the gauntlet has been thrown.
Oh, yes.
She might need a little more legislative experience first, though.
Right, like Obama.
Well,
right, exactly.
Okay.
That was a funny joke that Obama made about Cruz,
yeah,
about who he thinks he is,
a
one-term senator.
Yeah.
And
Ted Cruz can
today.
Run. Liberals don't run. Ted Cruz can run. His mother was a U.S. citizen, even though he was born in Canada.
I know that Orly, my friend, birther queen Orly Tates, will be consistent. I know she will be all over that.
Well, hopefully he can get a Kenyan running mate just for the irony.
Exactly. As we were saying, Michael Tomosky, my favorite new writer of the Daily Beast, who I want to kiss and marry and date.
He was my friend first. He was my friend first.
Nuh-uh. He likes me better.
He's not a new writer at the Daily Beast.
No, he's my favorite new writer.
You.
I have a lot of favorite writers, but anyway. But he wrote a piece and we were
You're so fickle.
When Charlie Pierce comes on.
Okay.
Tuesday. But anyway, yes, don't tell Eric Bollard.
Oh, God.
But my you know, we were quoting from the piece, John, earlier that, you know, and he's saying the NRA is going to lose. Like, he's hearing from insiders. He feels we are going to have another vote and we're going to win on this background check bill.
Yeah, and a lot of conservatives feel it too. Scarborough's been saying it every morning this week.
Yep. And I love this. Fresh off a huge victory over President Obama on gun control, the message from the NRA is clear. The fight has just begun. They're having their big convention today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They gather in Houston this weekend for the annual convention. Organizers anticipate a rollicking Texas-sized party. Yeah, party while you can, people. Both to celebrate the victory. I love what they're celebrating victory. Really? They're celebrating that you know.
Celebrating victory. Celebrating
right.
That there wasn't even
anybody,
an up or down vote. There wasn't, and they use the filibuster, celebrating that Harry Reid is more spineless than something that lives on the bottom of the ocean and blocked filibuster reform. So we can't even have a vote on background checks. That's like lame to the seventh degree.
Okay, so they are, if you are an NRA member, you deserve to be proud, Wayne LaPierre wrote. Yes, you do. Look what you did. Telling them they exemplify everything that's good and right about America, including apparently the ability to market guns to five-year-olds. Have you seen the cricket rifles? You got to go to the website, John. It's unbelievable. All these little kids with holding guns. You know,
yeah,
they're like
it's,
laminated
it's,
in blue and pink.
It's creepy. Wayne LaPierre is so evil, the dark side turns to him. And this is a guy who used to stand for background checks. You've seen the clip, Steph. 1999, he testified before Congress about it.
Yep. Sandy Phillips, whose daughter was killed in the Colorado theater shooting last July, met privately, by the way, with Senator Ted Cruz in San Antonio. She said Cruz refused to budge on expanding background checks and told her he considered it the first step toward government confiscation of guns. She said, they're always good at saying the right thing. I'm sorry for your loss and la-da-da-da-da. If you're really sorry for my loss, do something about it. And,
incredible.
You know, and more and more people are. And these groups are really new politically. Who was the woman just called in earlier on the show? Moms Demand Action.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing stuff this weekend in Houston.
They're great.
Mayors
we got them on our show.
Or Legal Guns, Gabby Gifford's group. I mean, it's it is incredible. It really is. These polls could not be clearer.
Intelligence and decency are getting organized. It's exciting to see.
Yeah.
And they are going to lose. And let's remember, with the assault weapons ban, that was signed by President Reagan and President Ford. You know, I mean, Harry Reid is now to the right of Sylvester Stallone and Ronald Reagan on assault weapons.
Tomosky compared this to right after Reagan's assassination, that he's, you know, the piece is the NRA is going to lose. So let's hope. Jackie in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First time caller.
Oh, welcome.
I'm the daughter of a military policeman. He was a career Army officer for 21 years, and he supported gun control. And I'm a Vietnam-era vet myself, and I support gun control. I think it's a part of responsible gun ownership is registration of those who own guns.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie, you know, it seems like the people that have used military assault weapons, like General McChrystal, think that, you know, only the military should use assault rifles. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing, and I think that what got me on with Travis is that not everybody in the military even has guns. There's a lot of people, you know, like in the Navy and in the Air Force, who don't carry guns. They don't get guns.
Yeah.
They shoot them during basic training, maybe, but they don't have guns and they don't keep guns.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
And I don't understand why they equate immediately military with guns, although I think the most appropriate use for a gun is with the military or with the police.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, John, I'm always amazed. So we have we have our right wing troll alert system activated, so we don't need to worry now. But I mean, literally, you can tell the talking points. As I was saying, I'm on CNN with Gail Trotter, and obviously, the talking point was video games yesterday and swimming pools.
Yeah. Can you believe
like,
it? And that's how they change it.
Yeah.
That's how they change the subject. They change the subject off their own culpability in these crimes. And again, China has the same movies. Django Unchained just opened in China, Scarborough. Okay, they have the same violent movies. Japan has the same violent video games. Their murder rates, their mass murder rates are much lower than ours because they have much stricter gun control because they're patriots and want to keep their citizens alive.
Yep. Attention all y'all callers with your swimming pool and video game talking points today.
This is a test. This is a test of the right-wing troll notification system. This is only a test. Mm-hmm.
Benghazi.
Lindsey Graham is my favorite Tennessee Williams heroine.
This has been a test of the right-wing troll notification system. Had this been an actual issue, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for half-baked information. This concludes this test of the right-wing troll notification system.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Appreciate it. Much appreciated. And much needed this morning. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sexy Liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau for all 3 hours, filling in for the ailing Jim Ward.
Yes.
Having fresh off his triumph at the Chicago Theater Stage.
That
in
was
Chicago,
fun.
Sexy Liberal, right? Right?
Yeah. Some more of that, please. That
what?
Was good.
What?
Good
what?
Crowds.
Don't do that stuff.
I just did. Joanne in South Dakota, you're on with John. Hello, Joanne.
Hello there, Steph. I love you. I love John. And I love Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yay.
We all do.
I know. Great. Go ahead.
What I want to talk to you about is they're always talking, these right-wing guys, about the slippery slope. And that's an imaginary slippery slope.
You need to move the phone closer to your mouth.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
There
that's
you
better.
Go.
Thank
okay.
you.
Is that any better?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the talking points on the Second Amendment?
Yes. Yes. And their slippery slope. And that's an imaginary slope that they're talking about.
Yeah. Do you believe, Joanne, let me ask you something. Do you really think they really believe the government is going to confiscate every however zillion guns there are in America?
Of course not.
Right.
Of course not. That, you know, that's embedded in our in our Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Okay, but the real slippery slope, the real one, is what these first responders walk into when they tear into places like Sandy Hook and the theater out in Aurora and all those places with the blood and the body parts and the body fluids and everything. There's a real slippery slope.
Yeah. That is not imaginary.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, exactly. John, did you hear this? You know, the one Newtown mom did an open casket because she said, you know, she wanted people to see what this is. I mean, and that's, again, you know, I think very brave and, you know, a very personal decision. But it's interesting. There's a story out here in California, by the way, where we're probably going to be a test case where they are going to confiscate guns from people that, you know, have a criminal conviction, are deemed mentally ill, or committed a domestic violence. So it will be a test case, because I was talking to a friend who was afraid politically this could hurt us, that, oh, see, it's proving that the, but I think
it is a risk. It is a risk.
Right. But I think in California, it's to me, that's doing the right thing, isn't it, John? That's the stuff that even the right wingers say, yes, absolutely, those people shouldn't have guns. Well, you know, here in California, they're going, guess what? If that happens and you own a gun, we're taking it.
It's social responsibility versus personal selfishness. Which side are you going to be on?
If you lose your driver's license, right? If you get in a drunk, whatever, right? If you get in a drunk driving accident, that kind of thing. I mean, what?
Yeah. And the great thing about this dispute playing out so heavily on social media is it allows our foreign friends to know what sane, intelligent Americans are really up against.
Yeah.
Because we got some crazies here.
Jennifer in Fort Worth, you're on with John. Hey, Jen.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about these strict constitutionalists who have not read Article 1, Section 8, that says that the government gets to call up the militia to suppress insurrection. It's not about the militia getting to rise up against the tyrannical government, and that Congress actually gets to organize, arm, and discipline the militia that is in the Second Amendment.
Yep. Very good point. Smartest girl in class this morning. Let's go to Chris in Albuquerque. Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hi, somebody just beat me to the Article 1, Section 8 argument.
Ah,
so
damn
them.
It. Damn that, smartest
also,
girl.
Also, I have one more snossage. U.S. Code Title 10, Section 311 helps define the militia, and that's any man 17 to 45, and women if they're part of the armed forces. So, interestingly, if you're too old, you're not allowed to be in the militia. So,
sorry, McCain.
but, yeah, the Second Amendment does not exist in a vacuum. It does interact and depend on other concepts within law, the Constitution, Supreme Court decisions, and militia acts form, I believe, over the years.
Yep, absolutely. All right, thank you, honey. Let's go to, Chet in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chet.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Hey, I just want to know why, when you guys talk about the terrorist mother?
Yes.
Why you don't use the intro to Rock Lobster? Because it sounds just like her name.
That's what Travis said, that they yell Zubidot, really? All right. Let's listen. I think I would know this musicologist. He was right.
I think it's Scoobidot.
It's Scoobidot.
Yeah.
It's Scooby-Doo meets Zubidot.
Did you know that, John?
I did not know that.
What kind of former DJ are you?
Yeah.
when did making fun of Muslims ever make them angry and make them lash back at us?
Larry in Arkansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Larry.
Yeah, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm out here in western Arkansas. I'm a farmer. I'm 65 years old.
Good morning.
And, hello?
Yes, hello.
I would like to own any kind of firearm I wanted to buy. I think I got that privilege and the right to do that. But, you know, I'm for some kind of a stricter background check, you know, that's going to be enforced, you know. The reason for that is because, you know, I don't want a lunatic to go out and be able to buy an assault rifle or something on his own on some impulsive deal, you know, it's going on in his mind, you know. If he can't get it on his own, you know, if he ain't made any plans, you know, he might wait a day or two, you know, it might all pass, you know, that lunatic impulse, you know.
That's basically
what's been happening here in these, you know, this lunatic killing stuff. You know, they're lunatics, you know.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
You know.
What?
It was awesome.
You know.
Stop it.
What?
That guy is one of the sanest guys to
call
on the show all day.
Tom in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. I just have a question for you. I hear a lot of the comparisons between driving a vehicle and being licensed and trained on a vehicle and having liability insurance.
and I hear that being compared to the ability to buy it all the time. Well, I live out in the country on a farm, and I bought a truck a little while back. I bought it from my neighbor. I don't have to register it. I don't have to license it. I don't have to have liability insurance on it on my own property. So why can't I do that with a handgun or do that with an assault weapon?
So if you don't drive it, if you don't drive it on the public roads, right?
Yes, ma'am. I don't drive it on public roads. I just drive it on my farm.
So it doesn't have to be registered.
Doesn't have to have liability insurance on it either.
So why can't we have a law that says people can only have their gun on their own property then?
No, I'm saying if I only have my gun on my own property, why should I have to register it? I hear a lot of people even discussing the aspects of having liability insurance to cover your weapons that you own.
If someone steals your car, sir, what happens if someone steals your car off your property, or your truck off your property, and drives it and mows down a bunch of people in a mall?
You're still liable.
Okay. Why am I liable if somebody steals my car?
I didn't say you're liable, but, you know, they're going to find you, right? They're going to be able to trace that it's your car, correct?
Yeah, but somebody has broken the law by stealing my vehicle.
You didn't break the law at all. But can you guarantee that no one's going to steal your gun off your property?
I can't guarantee nobody's going to steal my car. I can't guarantee somebody's
going to... That's why, okay.
That's why you should probably register it.
Hard break. We'll address that after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Last time she was here, she drank too much cherry wine and had a threesome with my parents.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau with us all 3 hours this morning. We've been having this gun debate all morning. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, writes, Steph, if first-person shooter games lead to real-life violence, does that mean that those of us who decided not to run headfirst into brick walls playing Super Mario Brothers 20 years ago weren't doing it right?
Good point.
Yes, good point. Nicely said, sir. Yeah, that was the right wing magazine yesterday was loaded with the video games talking point. I was telling you CNN with Gail Trotter talking about the 5-year-old that shot his 2-year-old with his own rifle.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I have no idea why she was like video games. Yeah. Swimming pools.
And God knows what
freedom.
Tetris led to.
And freedom. Right.
Tetris, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Did Pac-Man lead to people gnawing each other's faces off? Who knows?
I will never forget the time a crazed teen came out of an alley and threw an Atari video game right at me. And if I didn't have my Glock 9mm over my heart, it would have killed me.
That's right, John.
Those things were heavy, though.
Mm-hmm.
Good God.
Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Hi, John.
Good morning, Foxy.
You trollop. Go ahead.
More of that. I am about to go bat crap crazy with these goofy men who keep calling in. First of all, let's start with Michael from my hometown of Philadelphia. I am so ashamed to admit that at this moment. Okay, his facts are so out of the ordinary. It's just incredible. Second, the guy from Virginia talking about his truck. I lived in Virginia for 3 years. He's talking about a farm vehicle that is permitted to be used only on farm property.
Yeah.
It doesn't relieve you from any liability for the use of that truck. You may not need insurance or registration, but you are still responsible for what happens with that vehicle.
Yep.
Okay. And then let's go back to the whole DHS buying up, 450 million, billion, gajillion rounds of ammunition. If you listen to Randy Rhodes the other day, around 17 after, she said that this whole conspiracy theory was debunked. And if you go to politifact.com, all the information is on there that debunks the whole thing.
Right.
But, facts are not going to get in the way of what these people
Mary, it doesn't make any sense in the first place. What's your point? The Department of Homeland Security is planning to shoot everyone in America? What is your point?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the debunking of that shows that, these rounds are used for practice,
for, you know, live fire training exercises and things like that. And it only comes out to about 1,000 rounds of ammunition per law enforcement or DHS official for the year. And also that total number was for a period of 5 years. They leave these little details out so that everyone goes, ooh, oogity boogity boogity, you know, the government's coming to get us. And it's just, it's driving me insane.
All right, and we thank you for that and the oogity boogity boogity.
Yeah.
Because that's basically the oogity boogity, oogity boogity, coming to get your guns. All right. By the way, Gail Trotter, John, is who I was debating. Remember, she was the one that originally testified. Remember at the
yes.
hearings? And she was the one that, I need an AR-15 because what if the several men break into my house? They all have assault weapons and I need more than what? Really, she's the original person that every night at her house apparently is Zero Dark 30.
Yep.
And Kevin in Chicago had this very same argument. He writes, Stefan DeMooks, I have a relative that currently owns approximately 15 different types of weapons, including two AR-15s. I asked him the other day, are you really Dr. Octopus? Of course, he was confused by the question. And then I asked him, when someone attacks you at your home, how the are you going to wield 15 weapons by yourself without at least 8 arms? You're still 7 arms short. He thinks I'm a hole, by the way.
Hilarious.
Right. Kevin's a hole. All right. But yeah, it defies logic,
mm-hmm.
right? Why
it's,
you need an arsenal.
But no, there's a very simple logic, and their entire logic is, I want what I want when I want it. And that's it. That's their core belief. That's their morality. That's their religion. I'm an American, and I want what I want when I want it. Give me my pony. Give me my gun.
Yeah.
It's not about your rights. It's about your entertainment, Skeeter, and that's all you care about. And you just happen to think your right to entertainment means that letting crazy people who are criminals get the same kind of AR-15s at gun shows with no background checks is just a bit more important than anybody else's child.
Yep.
That's what you fight for.
Ronnie in New Jersey on this company marketing guns to kids. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi, Steph. I was really amazed last night. You know, I actually saw the guns that are for sale. And, you know, I'd like to commemorate the death of Joe Camel because he deserved to die and he was killed by outraged people who saw he was selling cigarettes or trying to push cigarettes to kids. And now they have a gun called the Cricket, which also has a cute little Jiminy Cricket type cartoon.
Yep.
And one that has a girl's name. It should be called the Barbie. It's painted pink.
Yep.
I mean, I've never seen anything so outrageous in my life. So, you know, how they could kill Joe the Camel and yet this gets by.
Yeah.
Amazes me.
Yeah,
well, they
absolutely.
Fought Joe. It took many decades to kill Joe the Camel.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. And it took decent, honest Americans getting up and saying, hey, guess what? We've been lied to, and the government shills have helped them lie to us, and now we're going to stand up and fight back.
Yep.
And you can still smoke if you want.
By the way, so, you know, the Republicans we were talking about trying to do their, what is it called, minority outreach?
Yes.
How's that going? Not so well. Paul Ryan, because they're trying to be more inclusive. Obviously, we're debating immigration reform, among other things. Paul Ryan used the term anchor babies during a town hall meeting several times.
Was he talking about Michelle Malkin?
No, he was not.
Surprisingly.
I'm sure she will be outraged.
Yes.
Noted anchor baby Michelle Malkin.
Exactly.
Well, Paul Ryan was even funnier this week when he came out in favor of gay adoptions.
Huh?
Paul Ryan came out and said that gay couples should be allowed to adopt, but he still believes that marriage is between one man and one woman. And I'm like, what? So you're against gay marriage, but for a gay adoption, which means you stand for gay bastards, Paul Ryan. That's what you believe in.
Thank you, John.
He will never be he's in the Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, We Will Never Be President Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading his actual phrase. He used it like several times, and he's like, "Oh, they call it anchor babies." No, who's they? Not everyone.
Who's
offensive.
They?
Nobody call it, you know, who's they? You mean
everybody you
people. You talk to, right? Yeah.
Michelle Malkin uses that term.
Yeah. Stop it.
What?
All right. Speaking of the gays, Rhode Island, as we mentioned, has become the nation's 10th state to allow gays to marry. It is a heavily Roman Catholic state.
Mm-hmm.
My ecclesiastical MOOC.
Indeed, it is.
The Catholic Church was the most...
The Romans kind of made it an art form, didn't they?
Hmm?
The Romans kind of made men with men an art form.
That is true.
Yes. The Catholic Church was the most significant opponent, with Bishop Thomas Tobin urging lawmakers to defeat what he called an immoral and unnecessary change to traditional law. He wrote in a letter to the state's Catholics that homosexual acts are always sinful, to which I've always said, only if you're doing it right.
I love when straight people say gay marriage is unnecessary.
Yeah. He said Catholics should examine their consciences very carefully before deciding whether or not to endorse same-sex relationships or attend same-sex ceremonies. To do so might harm their relationship with God. How's about that? Mm.
Yeah, God who wants you to hate people. You know, if God didn't like gays, he'd stop creating so many. And he might smite them. He's not, so it seems he wants you to get along and be nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd think gays would have been smited by now.
Yeah.
You'd think if God was really that angry about gays and Mexicans and marijuana, he'd stop creating all that much of
them. They obviously believe in a God who is too lazy to smite anymore.
I've lost the will to smite. God has low T.
Yeah, God's just on his Barca lounger.
Ah!
I, you know,
all right,
I,
we got to go home. That was the line of the morning. God has low T. All right. God uses androgel. Don't get any on the rest of us.
So that's what caused the platypus. He got
androgel
on a
what
duck.
What the hell did I make? What is that? That's where that monster fish in Central Park came from.
Yes.
Because God's on androgel. God's just up there under the disco ball. All right.
With a glow stick.
You know all those right. commercials where Mrs. God, very attractive woman over 50, and you know what's coming. You know coming.
And they're in the bathtubs.
God's got low T.
Twin bathtubs. Right. No, that's Cialis. Tosh writes, Steph, I suspect with insight supplied from a number of sources, this sounds like a Squeezy McFeel stamp study. That like every other human characteristic, there's a spectrum of preference, and up until now, a lot of bisexual folks have been pulled by societal norms into the straight camp. Increasingly, in this heavily populated world, as Neolithic ethics are stripped away and people, especially the young, become more accepting of gay couples, more and more of these bisexual folks will choose same-sex romance. Oh, eek. Quite honestly, with 7 billion people infesting this relatively small planet, this development may not be a bad thing. Otherwise, we face the potential for some really, really nasty events like massive famines. Just saying, if you're anti-famine and you're on the fence sexually, come on over!
You know, lots of anthropologists have said that many, in the animal kingdom, a lot of tribes have natural gay animals because it's a means of population control.
Yeah, well, it does.
It's just nature taking care of itself.
Right, exists in every species.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, if there are any young, impressionable bisexual women that are, you know, I'm just saying. All right. I'm just trying to help.
Dates?
Just trying to
so
help.
Embarrassed. I am so embarrassed to be a part of this.
Helper. Rick in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rick. Hi, Rick. Okay, Rick is not paying attention. Let's go to George in Minnesota. Hi, George. Welcome.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to say a point about background checks for firearms. I've seen the way liberals operate in other things before.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Slope.
Yep, here it comes.
Here it comes. Go ahead.
Whatever's enacted is never enough.
Mm-hmm.
You enact your background checks like you want.
So best to do nothing, right?
The next time there's a shooting, we didn't do enough the first time, so we need more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do.
Yada, yada, yada. Hitler.
We do need more.
Right. Gun confiscation, gun confiscation is the final goal.
Sir, respectfully, I hear where you're coming from. You must really despise President Reagan, right?
You haven't even let me make my point. You keep
please
interrupting.
Do.
No, please.
Go ahead.
People disagree. So I've seen the same thing happen in healthcare. No matter how much government we have in healthcare, it's never enough. We need to have more.
We don't have any government in healthcare. And affordable care isn't government in healthcare.
Are you kidding me? There is no industry that we have in this country that has more government involvement than healthcare. None.
What are you talking about? We don't have a government healthcare system. We have a private healthcare system.
We have Medicare and we have Medicare.
There's a difference between private healthcare and free market healthcare.
I know.
There's no industry that has more government interference. I'm not saying government run. I'm saying government interference.
And you have no problem with the private insurance, do you, sir? No problem with insurance carriers. The private system, the private free market's great. They take care of everyone. The free market's taking care of health care for all Americans, and the government gets in the way of the free market.
Do you know the difference between free market and private market?
Why is inability to pay healthcare costs the number one cause?
Free market and private market.
Yes,
you know
sir, I do.
Between free market and private health.
Sure.
Yes.
It's all working well. It doesn't matter. It's all working great. There's no death.
Yeah.
The insurance companies don't run death panels, do they? Have you ever been denied anything?
There's practically no free market in health care, but what little but you blame the free market on the government, on the results of government interference.
Oh, that's why. Is that why
single payer would be government health insurance?
Yes.
All right, we need to break. But I, you know what? I think we get his point. Guns, blah blah blah, blah blah blah. Freedom, freedom, Hitler. Okay.
I can smell the hate through the microphone.
Scene. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour.
We like Americans more than you, sir. Sorry.
He wants answers. He wants the truth. 46 minutes.
You can't handle the
truth. Yeah, you can't handle the truth, John. You want him on that wall. You need him on that wall.
He can stay on that wall. Yes, that's a good place for him.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Speaking of partying, John Fugel's saying, you know the lowest level of celebrity douche nozzlery, right? Is
where?
When you say, do you know who I am? Don't you know who I am?
Yes. You are scraping the bottom when
sadly,
you say that.
For Reese Witherspoon, there is audio tape of her and her husband getting arrested in Atlanta.
I'm going to arrest you.
I'd like to know what's going on.
He's under arrest. If you don't get
I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm allowed to stand on American ground and ask any question I want to ask.
Oh, God.
Come on.
You better not arrest me.
Yes,
are you kidding me?
No, I told you.
I'm an American citizen.
I told you to get in that car and stay in there, didn't I?
This is beyond.
Oh, dear.
This is why
she also told him he was going to be on the national news. As it turns out, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Alcohol's not your friend.
No. And she
pled no contest, yeah. And she has apologized.
And she was on Good Morning America yesterday morning, and she said, "You know what? I did a lot of things that said a lot of things that I really shouldn't have."
Yeah.
I still love Election so much.
That was a great movie.
She won an Oscar playing June Carter, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't take away her
That's right.
Scenes.
Yeah.
She'll certainly get beyond that.
Her husband got a DUI, and she pled no contest. But anyway, it's bad to be caught on tape. I remember a celebrity douche nozzle story. I won't say who.
Who?
Oh, actually, I might as well. I think it was another celebrity that told me he was somewhere with Dennis Miller, and Dennis Miller pulled the Don't You Know Who I Am? To try to get into a restaurant or something.
Oh, no.
And the other celebrity just left.
Good.
I'm not, I'm out.
Yeah.
All right, Renee in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hello, Renee.
Good morning, Stephanie. I love you guys.
Thank
and your last caller was an absolute knucklehead. I've never heard anything so outrageous in my life. It really ticks me off because he talks about all the government interference with health care.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. I mean, you want to talk about an industry popped up by government. Look at the oil industry. Look at what they get away with. They make us sick, and then you get sick. And the insurance companies, it's like extortion. You pay up or you die. It's pathetic. What is he thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
Government's the only reason a lot of seniors can even have health care.
Yep, exactly. Could you take your organ out, please, for my personal
economy? Right away, Ms. Miller.
Katy Perry's father has branded her a devil child.
Oh.
Maybe
why? Because of the
auto
tune? It's because of the auto tune, right?
Maybe. Exactly. That's why she's going to hell. Her dad's a preacher, as you know, John. Keith Hudson launched a shocking attack on his daughter's salacious lyrics and on stage routines and outfits.
So it's about sex. That's where the Christian gets offended.
He urged his congregation to pray for Katie. Keith and his wife Mary touring churches in the U.S. where they've reportedly been showing videos claiming Katie is a devil child in need of healing.
So more or less he's going around charging people to watch him prove he's a bad father?
Right. In one sermon he said they ask how I can preach if I produce a girl who sang about kissing another girl.
That just means he's a capitalist.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the point of this whole story. The father recalled attending one of her concerts and says he wept for the legions of fans who flocked to see his daughter because he feels they should be praying to God instead. He said, I stood there and wept and kept on weeping and weeping. They're loving and worshiping the wrong thing. Wait for it. The couple also urged churchgoers for donations so they could fund a trip to Switzerland, insisting they donate not $1 or $2, but 20s. So what he was weeping for is that she was making a little more.
Now, if he was rebuking his daughter because the Bible says thou shalt not steal and she ripped off Jill Sobule's song title, then I'd be along with it. Jill Sobule had a hit with I Kissed a Girl Long Before Katy Perry.
That's right.
That's a sin. The other stuff, it's just her being titillating for a buck.
Yeah, and probably is going to hell for auto-tune.
Be mad at the auto-tune. She's going to hell for auto-tune, right. Not for kissing girls.
Right. Lindsay Lohan does not think she can give up smoking in rehab, so she's trying to switch to another rehab. She asked her lawyers to try to convince the New York Treatment Center to make an exception for her.
Did they say no, no, no?
Who do you have to... to get a drink in rehab. Really? Could I get a drink with my cigarettes?
By the way, there's a little bit of breaking news. As of this morning,
yes.
She showed up at rehab and then left.
Really?
Nobody knows where she is.
She packed 270 outfits
she
for
did.
Her trip to rehab.
Yeah. but now, as of this morning, just before the our show started, nobody knew where she was. That could have changed,
probably,
but I haven't seen anything.
Probably skedaddled to get some ciggy butts. Okay, let's go to... Let's go to Jennifer in Fresno. You're on with John. Hi, Jen.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually calling about the same Captain Crazy Pants that was started his rant about guns and went into health care and everything else that the government is trying to steal from us. And I was actually waiting for him to get to, you know, we're becoming like Hitler's Germany where
right.
we're taking all the guns away. These people don't realize that Hitler's Germany actually gave the guns back to the people. They took them away from the Jews and the Jew sympathizers, and they also reversed gun control laws that had been in place before Hitler came into power.
They certainly yep. did. Yeah. The Weimar Republic.
And Jennifer, we were hitting a hard break, so I just helped him along. Because when it starts with you liberals, and then I just get to blah, 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 confiscation,
exactly.
freedom, Hitler. And there
you go. She's right. I just posted a comment on my Facebook about this from the commentary I did on Current about it, because I think people who compare other people to Nazis are worse than Hitler, but the Weimar Republic after World War I had steep gun control. They were much more liberal when the more conservative Nazis came into power, and they used the word Socialist Workers' Party, not because they was, just for votes. They made gun control looser in every way unless you were Jewish.
John, thank you for filling in for Jim and supplying the correct amount of Hitler references in his absence. We appreciate it. We love you. Watch John Fiegel take on Viewpoint every night on the Current Television Network.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, John.
Peace.
See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.